Duncan McLeod, and this is the Tech Central podcast brought to you today by IoT.next. This is the fourth and final podcast with IoT.next. If you missed any of the others in the series, I encourage you to go back and listen to them. You can find them in the podcast section on Tech Central, or simply point your web browser to podcasts.africa. We started the series with an interview with co-founder and CEO of IoT.next, Nico Steyn. We followed that up with an interview with Vodacom business CEO, William Mzimba. And of course, Vodacom bought a majority stake in IoT.next. I think it was last year. The third episode in the series looked at innovation, and Chief of Product Engineering, Jacobs, joined Nico on that discussion. But right now, I'm pleased to introduce Tech Central viewers and listeners to François Folschenk. François is Chief Digital Officer at IoT.next, and he's joined by Terry Moen, who is a co-founder of the company and its Head of Business Development and Operations. Gents, welcome to the podcast. It's good to see both of you today.
Thank you very much for the opportunity, Duncan. Nice to be here.
So, thanks, Duncan. Great to be here. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Terry. Welcome to both of you. Now, the theme of our discussion today is skills development, which is, I think, a topic that's very near and dear to many people in the IT industry, given the skills challenges that the sector has faced for many decades, and probably doubly so in the South African context, where immigration is a big challenge at the moment, as is attracting youngsters into careers in the technology industry. François, let me direct my first question to you. IoT.next is a cutting-edge technology company. You do a lot of your own research and development, and you guys need good skills that I am guessing are not in abundance. How does the ability or non-ability to fill vital roles affect your business?
I think obviously training and skill development is key for our business, and knowledgeable individuals or well-rounded individuals are critical for us. So at IoT.next, we have an emphasis on people, as you'll see later in what we discuss. And the whole growth, and for us, we cannot grow a successful business without people with the right skills and knowledge.
Yeah, absolutely. And Terry, finding the right skills, is importing them an option, or has that just become too expensive?
No, I think that's not really a great option for us. You know, from the start, we've struggled to find skills with specifically to digital transformation, IoT kind of space. It's very new, and the kind of skill sets that we're looking for are very different to what's, you know, the typical A plus kind of student would actually come out with. They're much more engineering orientated. They're also much more, practical in terms of operations within a business. And I'm talking about from entry level technical through to engineering, through to solution design, pre-sales, sales, and of course, the delivery of the actual applications and everything that goes around that. A lot of it's changed. A lot of the budgets within organizations are also changing. They're kind of shifting away to also a new budget line has been kind of put into place, which is essentially digital transformation or IoT. And that's a space really that we need to fill. And we need the best of the best of the best within our business to do so.
Yeah. And are the universities,
which is why we brought Dr. François Folschenk into the business. Mm-hmm. He can maybe introduce himself and explain his skill sets specifically to do that, so that we can actually have something that is super meaningful in terms of getting youngsters through the education grill. But even people's kind of, at older levels of their lives will be able to actually start doing proper learning and academic qualifications around IoT.
When you're interviewing people, Terry, to come and join IoT.next, what are you looking for in those candidates? What makes you want to hire someone over someone else, for example, for your business?
So it's a combination of lots of experience. for the higher levels within the business and kind of almost entry-level candidates out of university. People who've just completed their bachelor's science degrees, for example, who are hungry to learn, don't want to work in a bank or an insurance company, and really want to work in an environment that is super innovative and agile and where you're literally doing something new almost every day. That's the kind of people that we need to get into our business.
And when you're hiring people, when you're looking at university graduates, youngsters who are have just completed their BSc in computer science, for example, are you finding that they are ready to slot in, or is there a lot of work that you guys need to do to make them ready to work for an organization, for your organization? Is there a lot of training that has to take place post their university studies, or can they join the company and hit the ground running, as it were?
Yeah, they don't just slot in. That's the reality. It takes them a while to actually understand that kind of a lot of the things that they learn when they come to us goes very much against what they've actually been trained to do, you know, through the normal university programs and systems. So we've really got to get them to change the way that they operate and that they think and that they actually deliver a product for us.
Are you finding that the universities are producing the skills that you need? I mean, are they providing the right sort of generalized grounding in technology that allows them to get up to speed quickly and when, for example, once they've joined your organization? Is that grounding that they're getting at South African universities sufficient? Is it developing them enough, or do you think that the universities need to change their curricula and perhaps make them give them more sort of a practical slant?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know how often, you know, an engineering university program has changed in the last few years, but IT is literally, you know, if it's going to take up 50% of the IT spend moving forward, then best we get these guys, you know, in every aspect of university, not just engineers, not just software developers, but architects, because the way they design buildings moving forward is going to, you know, employ a lot of the IT kind of capabilities. But I think Francois is better qualified to discuss what those curriculums look like and what we plan to do to enhance them.
Francois, feel free to jump in here.
Yeah, I think it will be derogatory to floor any of the universities. We all came through universities, but to Terry's point, I believe it's a little bit almost ancient. Looking at the way the world has grown digitally, I think a lot of education is still based on earlier principles. And I think that mobility and flexibility and agility in universities are currently, unfortunately, a little bit lacking. Although I believe that the candidates and the students coming out of universities are good, they have a good foundation, but I believe they are not practically inclined and hasn't done enough in practice to actually come and be a contributor in an organization that they join. And from our side, we like the word well-rounded individual. So how do we take these people further, use the technical skills, because we have beautiful technical skills, but how do you augment it with other skills to grow these human beings into people that are actually more worthwhile and more valuable to organizations and to businesses?
So, Francois, I believe that IoT.next has established an academy to drive skills development specifically around IoT. Maybe take us through that academy. How does it work?
Okay. We believe currently IoT knowledge and skill development training are limited. And this IoT.next Academy will provide training to internal and external parties. The internal parties will include the current staff and the constant inflow of new recruits and learners to address this growing IoT market. The external parties to this academy would be where we train partners and do partner enablement, and even extending this to tertiary education or universities.
All right. Now, we're in the middle of the COVID-19 pandemic, and a lot of us are working from home at the moment. Will you be setting up this campus, this academy, at your offices? Will you be creating a physical presence during the course of this year, or is it going to be launched as a virtual offering?
I think fortunately, technology and the adoption of online learning have grown in the last years, and it was even accelerated with the COVID-19 pandemic. So therefore, our training has been developed through a learning management system or a LMS system with a blend of online training and in-person training. And obviously, currently, we use Teams or Zoom for the practical training.
Mm-hmm. Terry, if I can maybe just add to that, Francois. So we're currently in the process of training various businesses right now as we speak. We're doing lots of training for a large Kenyan telco, Safaricom, and that's 100% online. We're even providing mentorship online, so that when the guys go through a training program, they pass it very well, but then they get down to the practical nuts and bolts. They need somebody to call. We've got that system in place really nicely. So we're actually doing training, in the next 2 months, we'll be doing training in probably 4 or 5 separate countries, all online.
Well, Terry, IoT.next, I believe, has established relationships with the University of Free State, is it, and the Belgian Campus IT-versity. I haven't heard of that one before, in Pretoria. What is the nature of IoT.next's involvement there?
So I'll talk about Belgium Campus. I think France was a little bit more affair with the work that we're doing
Bloemfontein
University or the Free State. However, having said that, we're busy with most of the universities right now. They all have a similar requirement and a need to put some kind of modules into their programs that can more talk to digital disruption, especially now. But Belgium Campus is a great story. It's actually funded by the Belgian government, and they bring in primarily previously disadvantaged kids. Right. We've got about 30 in our office at the moment that we've kind of guaranteed a workforce. So we help to populate we help to give them candidates to go through their university training. The university training is second to none. It is really of a very high standard. Engineering, software development, robotics, and even IoT for that matter. For about four years, we've been going to pitch our company and our services and just what kind of rocks, the IT world from an IT.next perspective. And we're very fortunate that it resonates with a lot of the youngsters to the point that we get, great candidates coming into our business each year. And they don't move. Because their counterparts who are working in the banks and the insurance companies they flatten, they kind of come out of university, they just don't get really challenged. And I don't know if you can actually play this bit, but it's just reality. So they grow in leaps and bounds compared to their counterparts, their colleagues that they worked with previously.
And how are candidates selected?
We go through a hell of a program. It's so first of all, we need to find the candidates, and we've got a number of ways. We've got the universities that are helping to push people our way, people that they consider to be of the right caliber to join us. Remember, we're looking for the best of the best of the best only. We then take these candidates through various different performance-based interviews with various different heads of our development partners department, if we're talking about specifically development here. And then we go through a process and we put an offer in, and normally there could be a little bit of haggling, but we get the guys. So the really good guys, they make it to us.
Now, Francois, do you want to talk a little bit about the work you're doing with the University of the Free State?
Yes, please. So IoT and advanced IoT education are not really available at university level in South Africa. And with this lack of IoT in curriculums, IoT.next established cooperation with the University of Free State to to add courses at a bachelor's level, BSc and engineering departments, and that is currently in progress. And then in future, we'll also extend this to other tertiary institutions or universities.
Okay. And is the focus, Francois, very much on IoT or developing a sort of a broader skill set around the technology space?
So again, we start with the IoT, and I think that's our specialty field, having developed our own industrial IoT platform, but also augmenting it with additional training on digitization, digitalization, digital transformation, and how you really apply this into business and in practice and get value out of it.
All right. Now, Terry, this industry, as you and Francois know very well, is all about change. You might be trained up on something important today, but 5 years from now, that particular technology may already be obsolete. So is it just about learning on the job, or should companies like IoT.next be proactively involved in redeveloping their talent on a constant basis?
If I can maybe answer that one, so sure. We always joke say the only constant is change.
Yeah, absolutely.
From the philosopher Heraclitus. So I think IoT.next has an incredible wealth of knowledge with gifted individuals. But the true strength in IoT.next is our people. So their technical skills will be augmented with additional soft skills as we develop them, including wellness and wellness initiatives. We have a mentorship program that we've just started, and we believe in developing the best version of yourself. And our emphasis is on continuous training, development, and lifelong learning. And if I may briefly allude to it, I think our training or learning methodology is based on andragogy, and excuse the wording, is adult education. And if you think about adult education, it's all about individuals and people that are actually motivated to learn. These individuals are ready to learn and want to know what they can apply in their real life or in real life situations going forward. And the training is self-directed, and individuals are responsible for their own learning. And this is augmented through group learning and collaboration and in solving real-time, real-world problems that we get in IoT. And I think that's why we're excited in the value we can bring to individuals' lives and preparing them for a future of learning.
Obviously, the ability to adapt to new technologies and new environments is very important. Would you say that's something that comes naturally to people who work in the IT space? Or do you think that IT people are just as resistant to change as the rest of us?
Yeah, look, it's been a five-year journey almost. And to start off with, it was a very difficult discussion to have with top-tier businesses in this country and abroad, until I think everybody came to the realization that the discussion with customers is at a C-level, C-suite level, mm-hmm. Preferably the COO, because they kind of at a higher level understand that the challenges that they face on a daily basis. And that gets driven down. So our discussions are very rarely at an IT level. we produce operational technologies, which is super exciting because our staff go out to a mine, for example. They roll out a solution into the underground mining equipment, takes a few months, and we immediately start seeing results. From when the first machine is switched on, we start getting results out of it. We start understanding what the sort of cycles are for that machine from a preventative maintenance or predictive maintenance perspective, for example, how operationally efficient the machine is being utilized, how the operators are actually performing against that machine versus other machines within that mine versus other machines within the entire mining environments, taking OEM information, for example, and comparing that and building out all these kind of analytic and, AI kind of environments to understand exactly what it is what we've achieved there and what the client has achieved. And then it becomes really a very simple exercise moving forward. But going back to our employees, to our hires, they are completely 100% they buy into the stuff because they see this making a real difference to the world that we live in. And that's what we actually set out to achieve as IoT.next.
Great. Excellent. Well, Terry, I think my final question I'm going to direct to both you and to Francois because I'm keen to get your views on this. And I know, Terry, you've kind of alluded to this already, but I wanted to get a view on this. I think it's an established fact that there is a need for upliftment in South Africa, and particularly, quite frankly, to bring more black talent and female talent into the IT sector. How will the IoT.next Academy contribute to addressing this need?
Let me start with that. So again, when we formulated IoT.next almost 5 years ago, you know, the one thing we wanted to build was a monster business. We wanted to build a unicorn business. That was our objective from the word go. The other thing that we wanted to do was to actually uplift people within South Africa and become a model almost to how South African companies should engage with the previously disadvantaged people within this country, both white and black, and you know, so that's been a driving force for us. So we constantly ask ourselves whether we actually doing enough to actually achieve that particular objective. Hence, you know, getting somebody like Francois in to actually assist us in kind of bridging that gap between, you know, us building small training kind of sessions to really making a massive difference to lots of kids. So the problem starts at high school, actually, probably grade 11, grade 12, grade 9 sometimes, and 10. So we are in the process now of with the universities, we identify kids within certain environments, primarily in the township environments, that have got super talent, okay, but they didn't have a computer when they were six, like their counterparts, you know. So we've got to actually get those guys. They're super smart, they're bright, they're talented, they're ambitious, and we identify those kids so we can actually bring them into an environment where we can do training to bridge that gap between their matric certificate and the requirements for entry into the university. And then we help some of the kids in terms of, you know, paying for their studies. We've got various different organizations that also are very keen to actually get into that space, including our partners, Vodacom.
All right.
Francois?
Thank you, Tony. I think, Duncan, by enabling learners, IoT.next is able to lift people from the community of previously disadvantaged individuals on this digital journey in the fourth industrial revolution. And we believe with the technology and our knowledge and experience that we have, we can actually help them grow in this field of IoT through education. And I mean, we augment technical skills of people internally and externally. And for us, this drive is towards this digital transformation and actually building better people, enabling them to grow.
All right, guys. So Terry or Francois, if someone is looking for, let's say there's a youngster watching this very podcast and thinking, I'd love to explore a career in the Internet of Things and related technologies and would like potentially to participate in this academy, where can they learn more? Is there a website?
Yeah. It's IoT.next.com. So obviously URL
IoT.next.com. Okay. Yeah. Great. And they'll find the information about it.
Maybe I can say it again.
let me say it. IoTNXT.com. How's that?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So if they go there, they'll find information about the academy.
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. Go check it out, guys. So, Doctor,
Duncan, they're very welcome to make contact with us.
Okay.
We're always happy to chat to these guys and bring them in, well, you know, when we are able to, but kind of help them, you know, identify directions, you know, in their studies.
Okay. And all the contact information is on the website, I presume.
Yeah.
All right. Excellent. I mustn't forget the doctor in front of your name. Dr. Francois Fulschenk is Chief Digital Officer at IoT.next, and Terry Moen is a co-founder of the company and is also its Head of Business Development and Operations. Thank you both for sharing your insights with Tech Central today.
Thank you very much. Much appreciated.
Thank you very much. Thank you.